Good morning. We continue with our study of Nachyomi as we do every single day. Nishmas Abi Mori Arav Hillel Ben Meir Yechiel Mechel Areni Paras Mishkavo and the late great Rabbi Jerry Acker Zichrono Lebracha. We're in Sefer Yishayo. We're in Perek Yud Gimel, and we now begin a series of Nevuos where Yishayo Anavi predicts events that are going to take place 100 years in the future, concerning nations that aren't Am Yisrael. He's going to talk about Babel today. He'll talk about the Plishtim, Moab, Ashur, Mitzrayim, Aravia. He's got so many of them to talk about. So the first one is about Babel, Masa Babel, which is going to take up today's parak and into tomorrow's as well. And he's talking about an event which would take place more than 130 years after he dies. Because after all, it would be another 60 years after Yishayo dies during Yoyakim that Babel rises. 18 years later after that, so we're talking 78 years after this particular death of Yishayo HaNavi, that Nebuchadnezzar would conquer all of Am Yisrael and destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and there'll be another 70 years of Babel. So we're dealing with a very major length of time which Yishayo is looking into. And so although the biblical critics have argued that this particular nevuah of Yishayo maybe came from a different Yishayo, the biblical critics like to make that argument, the pasuk's pretty clear that it's Masa Bavel Asher Chaza Yishayo Ben Amotz. It's a prophecy which Yishayo Ben Amotz, or that don't be confuse him with somebody else. It also should be pointed out that the word Masa, it means it's the harshest of the types of nevuos that are offered, and the prophecy of Bavel is going to be one of the harshest styles that gets used in a description of a future, and indeed you will see that is the way it's going to be described. HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes the nevuah to Yishayo, the understanding that there's going to be a message to Babel's enemies, to Paras and Madai, to attack the Babylonian king and government, to conquer it and to occupy the palaces. And Yishayo talks about the idea of Hanifu Yad, wave it with your hand, wave the banner with your hand. What he means to say is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who controls the nations, will signal to the enemies to overthrow Babel by waving the flag. And that is the intention over here. And he calls it out, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called the Mekudashai, my designated ones. He doesn't mean my consecrated ones, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu designates a power, well, that power will be Paras and Madai, to overthrow the Babylonians. Now, what's unclear is their soldiers would be expressing Hashem's anger, and when they would arrogantly rejoice in victory, they won't be aware that they're just Kalim of Hashem, and therefore they're next on the top of the mountain. And so, all of a sudden, they also can be overthrown. And so, indeed, there is an impression in the mountains. And again, there is no mountain in Bavel. Bavel was in a valley, right? And on the plains, the mountains are in Madai. And so, what Yishayo describes is an image in the distance of people on the mountains. You know, he recognizes that this is a massing of armies who we would recognize later as Paras and Madai, who were getting ready to attack Bavel. And this army was being commanded by Hashem, and at the height of the Babylonian Empire, all these nations, Paras, Madai, Ashur, they had all been subdued by Bavel. And Madai was the largest group, with Paras being second, and Ashur would play the smallest role over there. They secretly banded together, or will band together, since Yishayo is talking about the future, and they're going to form a huge army in the mountains, and they're going to mount their revolution against the masters in Bavel. And they're going to come from far away, L'chabel kol ha'aretz, to destroy the entire land. And that is what happened to Bavel. The Bavel was completely destroyed. It was leveled. It wasn't like the conquest by countries like Mitzrayim and Greece and Rome, where the cities got rebuilt and flourished. There is no Babylonia. The great cities like Nineveh and Bavel and Ashur remain destroyed. And part of this is that the sophisticated, pleasure-seeking Bavelians who ruled for 70 years in their luxurious lifestyle were no match for those who subdued them. And this is typical of revolutions in history. The collapse of the sophisticated Roman Empire under the pressure of the Germanic tribes, the Romans used their lifestyle, they were used to their pleasure-seeking lifestyle. They didn't have the fight to fight and the stomach to fight the tribes. Yeshayahu makes it clear that this revolution and destruction would take place about 180 years after his death. It wouldn't be in the course of human events. It would be Hashem uklei za'amo, that Hashem and his weapons of anger against Babel, which did so much to hurt the Jewish people, would be destroyed, and nothing would remain in the cities. And so then he turns to Babel, and he says to Babel, Halelu, he says, Kikarov Yom Hashem, you should start to cry out, lament. It's going to be destructive, and Hashem's going to take away your courage to fight. So even though Babel would formally boast of their enormous power, they're going to lose their ability to fight against the enemy. And that's going to be an issue for them to have to contend with. And indeed, the Babylonian fighters will become, they used to be very proud individuals, they're going to become tiny little lambs in this process. And they're going to be in, they're going to convulse in pain and terror. And they're going to look at each other that no one has the courage to fight. And they're going to be very surprised by that. And their constellations are going, Uxileim, they're going to look at the Orion, the hunter, the constellation of Orion, and they're going to see it as a fool. In other words, Yeshayahu depicts the day when Babel will fall as a day of utter darkness. It can only be described in, as a day where there'll be no sun, no stars, or no moon shining, and the sun, even the sun is going to be dark. It also could be metaphors for the political leadership. They're all going to collapse, and it's not going to make sense. And the humankind, Yeshayahu interrupts him and says that just as the great Babel was crumbling, and Enosh, one who was considered a Jewish exile, being elevated to high honor by Belshazzar, who of course we will later identify as Daniel, who became an Adam in the eyes of the Babylonians, he gets brought in by Belshazzar to interpret handwriting on the wall, and he says, listen, Babel's going to be doomed, and that the Persians and the people from Madai are going to soon overthrow the kingdom. The reason the Babylonians will lose their fight, their will to fight, is because they held Daniel in such a high esteem, and they knew that they were going to be doomed. So Yeshayahu, after interrupting here, he goes back to the vision of the destruction. On the day of the final collapse, there'll be a terrifying earthquake, and there'll be a powerful storm. And then he describes the army running away. And that's what's going to happen. The army's going to see all sorts of crazy things. And even the hired mercenaries who live only for the sake and get paid for the sake of sticking around and fighting, even coming from far away, they can't run back fast enough back to their homelands. And when you have mercenaries who are being hired guns to go fight your battle and they're losing on their own, on your land, even the foreigners are going to go ahead and die as well. And Yeshayahu closes out this parak describing just the vivid nature of the cruelty, and he goes on to describe that the babies get smashed before their eyes, their homes are plundered, their wives get raped, and it's not the fact that Madai is going to want their silver and their gold. They just want to go ahead and have no interest in the people whatsoever. They're going to be primitive, bloodthirsty people. They're not engaged in trade and commerce, and they're going to be exceptionally cruel to the children. And Babel, which was the beauty of the kingdoms and the pride of the Kazdim, it's going to become just like Sodom and Amorah. It'll be uninhabited, and there'll be nothing left there, just wild animals that are living there. The houses get filled with owls and ostriches and wild goats and wild cats in all these places, because the days of Babel are already going to come, but it won't be very long. After all, the entirety of Babel lasts for how long? 70 years. This is the first part of this Nevuah of Babel, and as Hashem, tomorrow we'll take up the second part. Have a great day.